Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, we come together to reflect on the core of our faith, the love of God. It's a love so vast, so deep, so unending, that it transforms lives, heals broken hearts, and it anchors us in every storm. Have you ever paused to consider just how much God loves you? Not as an abstract idea, but as a personal, life-changing reality. Today, let us explore three dimensions of God's love: its unconditional nature, its sacrificial cost, and its transformative power through the lens of Scripture. Let's start with a verse many of us know by heart. If you would, turn to John 3:16. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." This verse captures the essence of the gospel and opens a window into God's heart. Let's dive into the three aspects of his love: its unconditional nature, its sacrificial cost, and its transformative power. First, God's love is unconditional. It doesn't depend on our action. On our actions, our achievements, or our worthiness. This is hard to grasp because human love is often burdened with these expectations. We tend to love those who love us back, who meet our standards, or who makes us feel good. But God's love is different. It pursues us even when we're running away from him. The Bible makes this clear in chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Think about that. While we were still sinners, rebellious, broken, undeserving, God loved us. He didn't wait for us to get our act together, to earn his affection. His love is not a reward for good behavior. It's a gift given to us freely to the unworthy. Let me paint a picture. Imagine a parent whose child has wandered far away from home, making mistake after mistake. That parent does not stop loving their child because of their choices. They long for their return, ready to embrace them. This is the heart of God, beautifully illustrated in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 11 through 24. The father doesn't just wait for his wayward son. He runs to him, embraces him, and throws a feast, not because the son earned it, but because the father's love never wavered. This unconditional love means you don't have to earn God's favor, and you can't lose it either. Maybe you're sitting here today not feeling, feeling unworthy, weighed down by guilt or shame. Hear this: God's love for you is not diminished by your failures. Psalms 136 repeats this refrain 26 times. "For his faithfulness is everlasting." In the New American Standard Version, this phrase emphasizes God's steadfast covenant of love with us that endures forever. No conditions, no expiration dates. In Romans 8, verses 38 through 39, reinforces this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Let that truth sink in. Application is this week, I want you to take a moment to reflect on Romans 5:8. Write down one way you felt unworthy of God's love. Then remind yourself that He loved you even in that moment. Let His unconditional love control your behavior. Now, second is God's love is sacrificial. True love always costs something, and God's love cost Him everything. Let's return to John 3:16. Gave His only Son. The cross is the ultimate demonstration of sacrificial love. Jesus didn't just say He loved us. He proved it by laying down His life on our behalf. By this, the love of God was revealed to us, that God has sent His only Son into the world so that we may live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means Jesus took the penalty for our sins upon Himself, satisfying God's justice. Imagine you're in a courtroom, guilty of a crime. You're facing the penalty. You can't pay. Then someone steps in, takes your place, and pays the price in full. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. His sacrifice wasn't just an act of kindness. It was the greatest act of love in history. Consider the depth of His sacrifice. In the form of God, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, left the glory of heaven, took on human flesh, endured suffering, and faced death, not because He had to, but because He chose to. If you look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, this is described. Although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a bondservant. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, the death on a cross. Why? Because He loved us. Because He wanted us to be reconciled with God. This sacrificial love challenges us. If God loved us enough to give His Son, what does that mean for how we love others? Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 through 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Sacrificial love means putting others first. We need to put them before ourselves. Forgiving when it's hard. Serving when it's inconvenient. It's not cheap or easy, but it reflects the heart of God. This week, identify a person in your life who needs love. A family member, a coworker, someone who hurt you. Ask God to show one sacrificial act that you can do for them, no matter how small, to reflect His love. And then finally, God's love is transformative. it doesn't just save us, it changes us. When we truly encounter God's love, it reshapes how we see ourselves, how we treat others, and how we face life's challenges. If you'll look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. God loves making us new. It takes our brokenness, our sin, our pain, and begins to work on restoration. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was once Saul. He persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians. He was filled with hatred. But on the road to Damascus, he encountered the love of Christ. And it transformed him into one of the greatest ambassadors of the gospel. Acts 9, verses 1 through 19. That's what God's love does. It turns enemies into friends, sinners into saints, and despair into hope. This transformation isn't just a one-time event. It's a lifelong process. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 is Paul's prayer for us. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we're rooted in God's love, it fills us with His fullness. It gives us courage to face trials, compassion to love others, and purpose to live for Him. I heard a story about a woman named Sarah who grew up feeling unloved and rejected. She carried that pain into adulthood, struggled with bitterness and distrust, but when she encountered God's love through a friend who shared the gospel, everything changed. She began to see herself as God sees her, valued, cherished, forgiven. The love transformed her relationship, her outlook, and her life. That's the power of God's love. It doesn't just change your eternal destination, it changes your everyday life. Spend some time in prayer this week, asking God to reveal His love for you in a fresh way. Consider how His love is changing you, what old habits or attitudes are fading, and what new ones are growing. God's love is awesome. It's unconditional. He loves you as you are. It's sacrificial. He gave His Son to prove it. It's transformative. He's making you new. The Scriptures tell us this. This love is the foundation of our faith. It's the anchor of our hope, and it's the fuel for our lives. Read with me Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Imagine that. God rejoices over you. He delights in you. That's how much He loves you. Let's carry this truth with us through this week, and let's let it overflow into the others that we love. If you currently are not a member of the Lord's Church, I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to invite you to obey the Lord. First, you need to hear the gospel. You need to understand the message of Jesus, which teaches that all people are sinners in Romans 3:23, and that Jesus died for humanity and rose again, as in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. Second, you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the only way to salvation. John 3:16, Acts 16:31. This involves trusting in his sacrifice for forgiveness of sins. Third, repent. Acknowledge and turn away from personal sin, seeking to live according to God's will. That's found in Acts 3:19 and Luke 13:3. Fourth, we need to confess, publicly declare your faith in Jesus our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10. And fifth, be baptized. Undergo baptism as an act of obedience, symbolizing the washing away of sin and commitment to a new life in Christ. That's found in Acts 2:38 and Mark 16:16. And finally, then you must live faithfully. Continue to grow in the faith, obey God's commands, and persevere in a relationship with Christ. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, and Revelation 2:10. Or if you find that you have previously obeyed the Lord and you find yourself in error or in any need this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.